A railroad company had supposedly purchased land from individuals more than 100 years ago to put the railroad into, or from Richmond to West Point across the reservation. This was in violation of the 1790 Act, and the law said that no land can be deleted except by an act of Congress. No Indian individual, nor did the tribe as a body, had the right to sell any land. But it did take place, legal or illegal. They supposedly sold the land to the railroad company to go across the reservation. And this was supposed to have been the way the Indian people understood, the way it has always been told to me, that it was not an outright sale, it was a lease for so many years, 99 years was the lease. But when the paperwork were did by Native American Life Fund, we call it North for short, they found that the legal documents declared that the land was sold outright to the railroad company. Now, here again is manipulating people. So North took the case, and that case also was settled out of court, of course, after the railroad company found that they did not have a right to stand on because all of the aforementioned activities were illegal here, even though they were real brave in the early years, in 72, 73, 74, they were real brave. Year contract today with the Pamunkey tribe, tribal government. And after the 10 years is up, then it's up for renegotiation again, which I think is very good. Because we don't know whether Pamunkey going to be as bad as it is today, or whether the Bible is going to drop it or everything, and the railroad company would be at the loss, or whether the tribe would be at the loss. So they will be able to renegotiate on the terms as to I may have mentioned a little bit ago about the last time that the Mattapan I lost land. The Chesapeake Corporation, which had purchased vast areas of land around the reservation in 1929, they re-established lines as is a normal thing for the Chesapeake Corporation to do. In times past, I might just say this, that you might, some of you that are not aware of some of the things that took place many years ago, lands were not surveyed properly. There were hardly ever, if any, certified surveyors. One of the things that hold true in the state of Virginia is if a plat is not completely closed, it will not hold up in court. Always remember that. If you purchase a piece of property and the surveyor that surveyed that plot of land for you, and that plot is not completely closed on all areas, it's no good. I wouldn't take a foot off. It only takes 1 inch. That never, ever took place in the early years. So, I personally feel that it's almost impossible to survey 100 acres of land and measure every inch. But that's beside the point. On the ground is one thing, but on that piece of paper is entirely a different thing. It has to be closed on that piece of paper. Always remember that if you ever purchase a piece of property, make sure that you, when you get your deed and you have it surveyed, that your plat is closed, what we call a closed plat, is completely finished on all sides. The Mattapan I line never been really established, that is, our migrant bay lines. We don't have any records. No one has really did research because the Mountain Nine Tribe is a very poor tribe, and we never really had any money to do research with, except maybe somebody who decided they'd like to know something for themselves, and they're going to look at this research. As you know, it's expensive. And we don't really know, and have never really did that kind of research that we can really determine the aboriginal boundaries of the matter. My lifetime, that is a huge ditch from the river, from the north by northwest from the reservation, which had been determined as a Civil War ditch. And all of my life, that has been the boundary, not a line, but the boundary of the Mattapani. The Mattapani has used all of the lands on this side of that boundary, the ditch, around the reservation. Well, when the Chesapeake Residence property in 1929, they did a survey. That particular survey was not closed. They came back and they did another survey, and that one was not closed. They came back again in the late 70s, 78, I believe it was. They were surveying on that piece of property in 77. And I went to them and asked them, what would you want to do about this boundary over the Mattapani? They said it's going to be like it is, we're not going to appeal. 78, they came back without asking questions or telling anyone anything, which is immoral, as far as I'm concerned, and came over on the reservation, on the farmland. They took the whole meadow, it's a meadow over there. They took the whole meadow and put it in. And this is where they closed the piece of property. 78, okay. Later on, there was a dispute about it. I got involved, I talked to them about it, and some of the other people on the reservation talked to them about it, and finally they decided that they would award the tribe 27 acres of that land back, which took it back to that original boundary, and that line is closed in again. I forward a statement to the Census Bureau in 1979, drawing of the tribe, well, that is just the drawing of the general area where the lines are now, and put a handwritten statement to that attached to that, stating that the lines itself would not be aboriginal line, but a boundary that I had known all of my life, which did not necessarily mean it was the lines or the boundary lines or the original lines of our Mattapani reservation. I hope this will go into the record so at a later date, and this does receive the line that the Chesapeake Mattapani get involved in a later date. At least we'll have some records that is recorded someplace. One of the other things I might mention pertaining to the 1790 Act, I don't know if you are aware of this, but I understand that during this administration, I'm not really up on this, so please don't ask too many questions about this one particular item. I understand that a bill was on the floor, and I understand that it was passed on, that Eastern Indians no longer can file under the 1790 Act for land.
Has it been passed?
I understand that it has been. I understand that even though with all of the lobbying that we had, it was yet passed because of the tremendous amount of money that had to be generated by Congress for lands such as the Passamaquoddy Penobscot deal. The land will not be returned because of the populated areas in the eastern part of the United States. The lands will be, This does not necessarily mean you can't file suit. You can yet file suit for lands that are lost. And if you win your case, your lands will, or you will be compensated in the amount of money that the lands were worth per acre at the time the land was lost. Now, I ask you...
That's true. I've seen the text of the bill.
I ask you if you feel that you could go in court today to fight a case such as that for beans. That's exactly what the
lawyers would fight the case today. They wouldn't take the case.
Well, the point is, if they took the case and you won the case, you'd be losing all around, because let's say that the land's 200 years ago was worth, what, 50 cents an acre? Cost you $200,000 to go in court and you get $50 back? It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. You're not going to get the land if you were fighting for the land. Then you can say, okay, I think that I'm getting something, but you know what you're going to be getting when you go in court. You're going to be getting the worth of the land at the time it was taken. It just doesn't make sense.
Is this an administrative decision?
No, it's a spite move on the part of certain senators from New York and South Carolina, where there are some rather spectacular land cases going on.
And now, I understand, now, I don't know whether this will be retroactive or not, but I understand that they're trying to make it retroactive, that they give the South Carolina 144,000 acre deal that's going on down there, the Tagadas. And
I read the documents on the Catawba. They still make me mad.
I don't want to get into details of that because I don't know the law. I have not read it, as per se, all of it. Getting back to the Mattapani again, and the tribal government, the lands on the reservation are yet held in common by the tribal government. I think this is very important that you might be able to understand some of our traditional ways of life. Indian people, let me rephrase that, most Indian people, does not feel that reservated land, I say reservated land, belong to no individual. It belongs to the people. And that is the way it is on our reservation. No one owns one grain of sand on this reservation. That is on it personally. The tribal government is in full control all of the land on this reservation. Now, what happens is a Mattapani qualified member can apply for a lot to build and occupy. This lot can be awarded to the individual, the Mattapani individual, that he might or she might build and occupy so long as they live on the Mattapani reservation. The original law says that you have 2 years to build and occupy. In other words, once the lot is assigned to you, then you have 2 years to build and occupy. That has been changed a little bit. Modern day, there's a lot of people that does not have that kind of money, so we have changed it and made an amendment attempt to build and occupy. Because it's a strong possibility that a young couple who wanted to build a home and they didn't have money, they may get the house pretty well up, but not yet ready to occupy, so to attempt it to occupy covers that side of things. Now, once you have...
What do you do about farmland?
There isn't any farmland. The reservation is only 125 acres. We have some 22 families living on 125 acres. This 125 acres include marshland, forestland, community center area, church area, cemetery area, etc. And when you say farmland, you're talking about 10 or more acres to each householder, and there isn't that much land. Now, we do have land for gardening, which would consist of half acre or 2 acres.
that just is included in the lot? Or?
Right, yeah, that would be included, yes. It's not a community lot, such as a lot of communities that have each individual have their common lot. One of the other things that I was about to say is pertaining to the lot that has been allotted to the individual. Once you have established your home on that particular lot, you can live there as long as life lasts under the law. Under the law, you're talking about people that are law-abiding citizens. You can't, as it has been portrayed in times past, that Indian people can do what they want on the Commonwealth. Those that have left the reservation and go out to the Commonwealth and do all kinds of mean things to other people and disagree with the law, and then they come back to the reservation to place shields. This is not true. We expect our people to be law-abiding citizens. And they can be expelled if they are in violation of the law. Now, this does not mean the first time. Now, the reason the expulsion comes about is because we do not have a place of incarceration. We can't punish an individual on our reservation, such as putting them into prison or into jail for a long period of time. So the worst thing that could happen to them is to lose their homeland. And I feel that I would just as soon or maybe rather be in prison than to have no place to go as far as the homeland is concerned. Even though 1922 we were all made citizens of the United States, and
24.
I'm talking one thing and thinking something else. Yeah. But anyhow, since 1924, of course, we have the right to, since we become citizens, we have the right to do whatever the average American person do. Under our treaty, we had that right prior, but we yet were aliens, if you may. Yes.
Does everybody have the right to vote for the president?
Oh, yes. Yes, since 1922, we're all citizens of the United States, and we have the right to vote. Those that want to vote have the right to vote for any officer. I have found that in times past that people living on the reservation has not been very forceful in going out voting, that sort of thing, or canvassing for any non-Mattapani officer. I'd like to finish what I started to say about the land because I think this is very important. The Mattapani that has qualified and has built himself or herself a home or modern day trailer or whatever, modular, live on the reservation and they have the right to leave the reservation according to our treaties. We doesn't have a law that is a mandatory law that you have to live on the reservation. Although they leave the reservation, cannot return. But if you leave and stay away from the reservation, that is domicile. And you can return to the reservation as often as you like, but if you are not domiciled on the reservation, on that particular lot, 2 years hence, the lot will automatically revert back to the tribal government. The improvements on that lot will belong to the individual, but that individual will be given a period of time that he or she might do whatever is necessary to protect his or her best interests. If they want to sell it to someone, that prerogative, but if they do not do anything whatsoever, then there will be a public sale. And these properties can be sold by the private. this is the law. And anyone, they might say, well, this is a harsh law, but this is the only way you can protect your land, is because if we would allow as many people, and I'm referring to Mattapan people, with good jobs today, to come to the reservation and build. And build. Those people many years ago were foreseeing people, they very possibly could see what was in the future. Not to what we know is happening today, but we cannot allow, I cannot allow my son, a daughter, to come to the reservation and build a home for a summer resort. That's what it amounts to. That's the bottom line. For several weeks in the year, they can come and say, well, I'll move to the reservation and I'll live in my home, hold my life. Then I'll go back to the inner city or the urban areas or wherever that good job is at and stay the rest of the time. And 2 or 3 months or the next year, they'll come back again. You must maintain your status on the reservation at least 6 months out of the year. Hold a lot. Now, again, this is not a hard and fast law, because I think laws should be flexible to some degree. And that individual that very possibly is having a hardship for some reason or another, we don't know the problem that people are confronted with every day, but if someone that has lived on the reservation and had to leave, maybe because they were out of work and found a good job and they wanted to leave to try to get ahead a little bit, okay, and stayed away for 2 years and said, well, my job is going to last 6 months more and I'm going to lose my home and I'm going to lose my life if I stay there, to toss up, to stay 6 months or to lose your life. It's a strong possibility, and I would rule on it, that if they would write or come and bring a letter to the tribal chief and council, that it could be acted upon and they could receive some sort of amended time. And this way, they would still be able to hold that lot for extra 6 months or extra given amount of time. And I think this is one of the amendments that I think is very good to the old political law. Now, that brings us up to date pretty well. We do pay taxes to our own tribal government, and we are exempt from state taxes. 1917 ruling says that the Mattapan monthly is exempt from all taxes, state, local, and otherwise.
Federal?
What?
Federal tax? Are you
exempt
from federal?
No, of course not.
Oh.
Two things that you must look forward to if you fit in that particular category, paying federal taxes and dying. No one is exempted from federal tax, to my knowledge, except they fall below that particular poverty line. And the very, very rich.
What about federal taxes?
Yeah, federal recognized Indians, sure, there'd be federal taxes. And in a lot of states, there have been several cases in a lot of states, the state has been in times past imposing state taxes on people on federal reservations. And when I said state tax, I'm referring to alcohol beverage. You can see tax, such as on cigarettes. And when I said it, it takes in a host of things. We're not saying that those guys out there are running ABC stores, as per se. But primarily, the big case was about cigarettes. And the state wanted a commission out of every pack of cigarettes, every cost of cigarettes that were sold on the reservation. And they had been receiving it by a forceful mean, and the people who don't hear the thing, well, we don't think that it's fair. And finally, they went to court about it. Of course, they want to do it. But the state will try, the Commission of Revenue, will try in every method, every conceivable method that we made, to try to one point in time during my administration the camp to the reservation. And they satisfied all means that we were going to pay certain taxes on the reservation, dealing among ourselves. And I told them, I said, well, I said, you can touch all you want, my friend. I said, just because you're not going to pay taxes on you, I didn't do it. We got into a pretty heavy heat, but he was only a commissioner. He was not a lawmaker. He had to abide by the law of all of them on my side, so that's bottom line. Now, someone said a little bit ago that they had some very important questions that they'd like to raise. And Doctor, I'm going to allow you to take the floor.
What?
What was one of those questions? I believe you had some of the questions. I was only kidding, but I do want
I
you
hope.
To take
I hope.
Shocked you
did. He did.
I have some questions.
Okay.
I do.
Yeah.
Okay. You have a government for just the tribe?
Yes.
What exactly does it govern? Just the lands that are held here?
The many segments that we talked about. The land, the people, law enforcement, as per se.
Just as long as they're on this
yeah,
land,
right.
They abide by
yeah.
this rule. And what, do you have a council of elders or something?
Oh yeah, council.
Like how many people are on there?
Six.
And is that men and women or different?
Men.
And
I had thought that I had made that clear.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're the chief? You're the head of the
No,
chief?
I'm not anymore.
Oh, okay, you were. Not as a new. Also, another question. I read a letter over there that caught my attention from our governor in 73. And said, I welcome you to the Equal Opportunity Board, and I'm sure you'll
read it aloud for everyone that hears.
Yeah.
Dear Chief Pascolo, please let me take this opportunity to welcome you to the Virginia Equal Employment Opportunity Committee. I know that you see this task below you, that of bringing all Virginians into the mainstream. I was wondering what, you know, if you agree to that, and is that what you feel like you want to bring the tribe into the mainstream American culture?
That particular letter were pertaining to 13 people across the board that had been selected by the governor to function as people that would very possibly put together recommendations for to create what we knew, what we know today as the 29th executive law that was signed by, or amendment, I guess it was, that was signed by the governor of that day. I believe it was governor of the Oldman office at the time, 73, I believe, yeah. I was selected as one of those 13 people to serve on that board. It was an honor to be elected to serve on such a board. I might add that I feel that we did a fair job, since Virginia was the 13th state, to fall in line with the commands, if you may, of the federal bureaucracy at that particular time. When we talked of equal opportunity, I, at the time, did not realize that some of our executive people, some of the people that were in the top echelon, leaders of our state, employment, this sort of thing, were so evil-minded. Their minds were totally warped. You believe me, I talked with those people. I argued with those people. I felt like going to fist a cup sometimes. But nevertheless, I have had them to tell me that they did not believe that you, as a woman, could qualify to do a job that was handled by men at that particular time. Now, they didn't believe it was one woman in the state of Virginia that would qualify. Now, we were talking about qualification. We are not talking about women in general because you are a woman, or because someone is black, or because someone is Indian, or because someone is Spanish, or whatever it might be. But we are talking about people that had qualifications. That was what the whole crucial thing was about, equal opportunity. A fair chance to apply for a job and know that you were going to get a fair chance at that job.